Love, hello, everyone.
You'll forget about that.
Hello, everybody. This is Centria with Wellness Works. Thank you for getting on and listening in today. A wonderful gentleman that I had scheduled for today. Unfortunately, life intervened, and I had a wonderful person to assist today. So we weren't able to hold our interview, but we will follow up with the gentleman in the future. And I will be posting that for you guys on my pages to let you know when he is on, so you can get some more great information. Today, or this evening, I'm going to use this segment as an opportunity to go back more to the original reason or usage of blog or blogging, which is putting out a public diary of sorts, sharing my thoughts and feelings and experiences with people, strangers, to see if it will be of aid to you. That is the hope, at least when I share the things that I share. And I think that is the goal of most bloggers or vloggers, is to bring some help, some type of assistance, some type of healing or assistance towards helping to rectify whatever situation you find yourself in at the time. And so today I wanted to focus in on how everything's connected, mind, body, spirit, and grief, and what we can do to help get through these times right now. You always hear about people losing people in threes, and you wonder when your three is, if it's only going to be three, if it's even going to be three that year. Sometimes you aren't very much connected to the individual at all that passes. But when you are, how do you deal with that loss? How does it reflect in your daily activities? Earlier this year, we started the year off with a very special guest to me, a mentor, a friend, the host and creator of the Getting Your House in Order seminar workshops. And that person has currently passed. And so, yes, I am seeing how I feel about all of that. Currently, I won't say it's not affecting me. It is. I'm on here talking about it, so it is affecting me. I'm acknowledging the fact that it's affecting me. And I'm also looking at everything that we shared together during the last workshop. And I will give you the breakdown. What was covered was spiritual well-being, emotional well-being, legal well-being, insurance, funeral homes, memorial parks, physical well-being, which was my portion, and then, of course, the covering by the apostle of that church. And so the whole thing was to link everything together so that people could leave with a game plan of how to go about navigating what is inevitable for all of us, but also living your best life up into the day that you are no longer here on earth, spiritually and mentally. So last year's seminar did start with actually the legal well-being. And so I'm going to start there with you today. And some of the things that the speaker for that section identified was a need for people to put in place advance directives, wills, do any estate planning. If you haven't done that, and the presenter let us know where these things can be done. Your advanced directives, you can actually do those online. You only need one witness, so once you've completed it online, you can take it and have someone sign it as a witness. Your will, you can actually go down to, for us in Baltimore City, we could go down to the Register of Wills. And there is one location that is right off North Avenue. You can look up the other location. And at the Register of Wills, they will keep on file your will. They can also assist you with some estate planning. You may also want to look at providing your own blood for blood transfusions if you do end up in a hospital ahead of time, so that those blood bags are there for you should you ever end up in that type of situation. And a power of attorney. If you draft up a power of attorney, you have to get it notarized, okay? And the power of attorney is no longer good once the person that gave you the power of attorney has expired, okay? So if you're looking for something to go beyond the death of a person, then you'll need to make sure you have that will in place, okay? And the next one, the next thing that was covered was the spiritual well-being. And that speaker some of the things they spoke on had to do with what we call their ministry outside of their regular therapy that they give. It's called the Repairers of the Breach. And this is, again, we're talking about spiritual guidance and counseling, not traditional counseling. That'll be next. So with this speaker was reminding us to allow God to reprioritize your life. That still small voice that you hear that's giving you the proper direction of what to do next. A lot of times we override that nudge and that speaking and that voice in us, and we choose to do the things that are not to our benefit, overriding that voice because it's not blaring at us. And even sometimes when we are getting a very strong alarm about what it is we're seeking to do, we sometimes still override it. So this is about not overriding the voice of God as it speaks in and through you to guide you as to what you need to do. Releasing past hurt, speaking on the secret, and of course, anytime you speak on secrets, you want to do that in a safe space. But at the end of the day, some secrets are killing people. Some secrets don't need to be secrets any longer. Holding secrets has been linked to dementia in some patients that have dementia. They keep replaying the past, and you find out that they never let go of those things that were troubling them. Natural occurrences influence the spiritual man. So we have to be continuously aware of that. So these natural occurrences that happen, some of these things become secrets. And if they're not dealt with, then they turn into manipulation, deceit, flat out lies sometimes. Never leave relationships in midair. Clear up whatever is broken. Try your best to rectify the brokenness. At least rectify it on your end. If the other person just is not willing to deal with it, doesn't want to deal with it, feels like they're done with it, let that be. That's okay. Just do the things that you need to do to rectify the brokenness within you. And don't worry about being a people pleaser, okay? So, and then the next thing that parallels right into it is your traditional mental health. And this person understood both spiritual and contemporary counseling. So they were able to bridge without any thought, okay? So according to this person, a couple of the things I took away from them was that, in their opinion, the contemporary counseling is always secondary to spiritual counseling, meaning that most of the time, if we can see where a person believes what their foundation is, then if you can help correct their belief system, you'll automatically start to correct their regular mental health. You'll start opening up those boundaries that they've created and breaking down walls that they've erected. And as a therapist, the best therapists are always a client. Myself as a massage therapist, I am also a client. The reason why I'm able to be as effective as I am is because I am a client. I'm experiencing what the person would experience on my table, depending on who my therapist is that day. And that instruction, be it verbal or simply through the act of their doing their job as a therapist, communicates to me where I should make changes or adjustments to my client's therapy and or where I should continue to do the things that I'm doing. Breaking generational cycles is one of the things that this particular therapist focused in on. And when you look at generational cycles of things, past, present, future, again, it links back to what the other counselor was speaking on, which has to do with secrets and holding things and not addressing the breaks in relationships. Now, none of these people has spoken to each other prior to us coming together that day. So this is one of the things where we look at it and see where what we refer to as a divine thread is running through it. There was a theme unspoken between the people that had come to deliver their messages, but it was the theme that was necessary for that year, for that session, for the people that were there. For last year, September 21st, clearly the theme was to deal with past hurts, emotions, intellectual traumas that have disrupted the person's life and being. So to continue, one of the things we mentioned about dementia being one of the fallouts of holding on to secrets, not dealing with stuff, not dealing with breaks in relationships or persons that were important to you, that things went south. And some of those other things that rear itself up in mental health and that are very prevalent right now are anxiety, depression, bipolar disorder, and of course, ADD and ADHD. Most of the time, anxiety and even depression can be handled simply by changing environment and or the conversation of that person. Sometimes medication is required, but that's not always the case. However, if a person is bipolar, meaning they have rapid shifts and steep shifts in their mood, they're either manic high or very extremely depressed, and that middle ground is usually the result of taking medication. So a person is bipolar, which is on the rise. Unfortunately, in the U.S., the cases of bipolarism have increased substantially over the years. And so it's definitely something you want to keep an eye on. If you see a person who is one way one day, completely another way the next day, you may want to help them to go and get themselves evaluated quickly so that they can be more of a benefit to themselves and their homes, their households, and their families, and themselves. So just be aware of that. And also ADD, ADHD, most of the time, though there are some genetic factors, the environment can play an even larger role, environmental poisonings, phobias, irrational fears, all that stuff can play a factor in that also. As we know that diet is very important for a person that is experiencing ADD, ADHD, you really want to cut back on anything that you find is a stimulant. Sugar is for most people, but anything that you find is a stimulant, you want to relax on, okay? Ways to support people who are experiencing mental health issues are to obviously pray with them, pray for them. I like to ask people if it's okay if I pray for them, if I have any clue of who they are, because what I have settled on is that I don't want my breath going out for nothing. So if the person does not want me to pray for them, then I will not. Because I'm not going to kick up against a brick wall for no reason. Okay. Accept that their condition is what it is. Help them to get into therapy. Help them to get more rest, exercise, balance out the nutrition, and set boundaries. Okay. People that are experiencing any of these that I mentioned, anxiety, depression, bipolarism, ADD, ADHD, phobias, you have to have some really clear boundaries, especially in reference to the things that may be a trigger to them, so that it helps them to refocus, okay? the triggers will be different for everyone. The signs that they're becoming triggered will be different. And even if it's the same, if you don't know the person, you may not recognize it right away until it's occurring. So you just have to be mindful. The next thing that was spoken about was pre-planning funerals. And of course, that is getting into finances, which we deal with the whole person at Eddie's Wellness. So this is appropriate in that it's helping us to keep our costs low, which brings you more peace of mind, because the last thing you want to deal with when you're grieving is having to come up with large sums of money from where you don't know. And if you are able to prepay for your lot, then if you have life insurance, which everyone should, GoFundMe is not life insurance plan. It is a, I just happen to not have enough. And so you reach out. But everyone should have their own life insurance. So that being said, if you prepay for your final expenses, your burial, and your services, you won't have to be concerned with that, and any funds that you have for life insurance can actually all go to the persons that you designated, and they won't have to come out of pocket. And if they do have to come out of pocket with something, it will be a lot less. You'll be able to actually leave the estate closer to what you intended from the beginning by prepaying. And you lock in the cost, so they can't change the cost up on you. If you paid $500, because that's the special that was offered that month, that week, well, 20 years from now, when it's time for you to go, you have that locked in. You paid your $500. Thank God, that's all it was. You got everything done. You get your more than likely $500. We're probably talking about a cremation, which I am not against. I love the idea of cremation. I personally would love to be cremated, and I'd like to be the soil for a tree. That's what I'm looking to do. So if anybody has that information, feel free to share it with me. Just get a little bit on that. And going back to physical well-being now, because I'm not going to tell you what insurance plan to go with. You know I don't do that. But I will just say, make sure you have good, reliable life insurance that's within the budget that you and your family have decided is affordable, can be maintained, and makes sense. And what I mean by that is this. If you have a $10,000 life insurance policy and you are 20 or 30 years old, granted, anything can happen today or tomorrow, but honestly, you could save $10,000 on your own. Your life insurance, if you have a family, should ideally be enough to cover your income that you were bringing in for your family up to 5 years, if your budget can handle that, and at the very minimum, 1 year worth of time to help your family recover from losing you. If you don't have a family, it's just you, you still want to make sure that you have enough life insurance to cover any expenses that you see may be left behind for someone to have to deal with, because they're going to come after someone 9 times out of 10. If you have any final expenses left over, medical bills, obviously your burial expenses, things of that nature. So just be mindful and be conscientious, and choose out which plan works best for you and put it in to action. So, we've covered spiritual well-being a little bit. We've covered emotional well-being, legal well-being, insurance, and funeral pre-planning, if you so choose to do that. I'm going to go back to physical well-being now, which is more where I live. And as you know, last month we were speaking with Kayla Adams about gut health. We're going to continue that going into May and June, but with different people and different ways of addressing that need to boost, correct, heal the gut so that it is working its best and your immunity is at its highest with all that is going on between the traditional flu, your regular allergy season, this coronavirus strand, and also with the rollout of the 5G, anytime there's an increase in radiation, your immune system also needs to be stronger because those radio waves do affect each and every living person. We're all mostly water. We conduct energy. Magnetic energy is created in us as well. So anything that's putting off electromagnetic energy is going to affect us. That being said, again, you want to make sure that your immune system is functioning as well as it possibly can. So I just want to remind people that, you know, the bulk of your immunity is in your gut, up to 75% of the immunity is coming from what happened in your gut, okay? Just the biggest question to ask right now is, do you love you? And if you looked in the mirror right now, would you be able to say unequivocally that you know that you love you? And I'm not talking about a selfish love where it's all about me, it's just vanity. We're talking about the basics of taking care of yourself so that you're able to do whatever work it is that you're doing here to assist those that are in your circle. And to live a healthy, stress-free life yourself that you can enjoy, not just to work, but also to enjoy. So do you love you? Do others see that you love you? Or do they think that you don't? And so they mistreat you because they think that you mistreat you based off of how you present at this moment in time visually. Is there brokenness? Is there insecurity? Are you willing to put an investment into yourself, starting with time? Time to rest, time to reflect on the day and keep it simple. Do some journaling, be it verbal or written, to really see how your day progressed. What did you accomplish? Do you need calendars? Do you need reminders? I do. I really do. For whatever reason, this Wednesday and last Wednesday, been my worst 2 days for the time that I've been off work. Whatever was not in my calendar, I did not recall. I recalled certain details to an extent, but not enough to be effective and move on them. So that creates disruption and progress. So make sure that you have everything written down that you need to have written down. It brings you some peace, okay? Speak faith into your body. Speak faith over your body, faithfully over your body, and then go out and do the work, okay? Going out and doing the work would be restructuring your meals, getting more exercise in. While we're home right now, and I've taken this opportunity, I already had it in the works, but I've taken the opportunity to make sure I get more resistance training in. I may get some cardio in on a regular basis, but not necessarily the resistance training that my body is craving so they can actually have the physical change that I would like to see. Okay? So just a reminder of what a healthy gut is. According to WebMD, a healthy gut means you have a good balance of bacteria or microbes in your gastrointestinal tract, okay, GI tract, and your colon is what that area is, okay, your large and small intestine. These microbes help the body obtain energy from the food you eat, get rid of toxins, fight harmful viruses and bacteria, okay? Some of the ways that you know that your gut is not working well is if you have an upset stomach, if you have a high sugar diet, if you have unintentional weight changes, sleep disturbances, constant fatigue, skin irritation as there's change in your skin, autoimmune conditions, and food intolerances, okay? So you may not be completely flat out allergic to a particular food, or you may, but it may be just enough to keep you from being able to eat something that you maybe traditionally have eaten, or you're finding that you cannot eat any longer the way that you used to. Some ways that you can combat if your gut health is not where it needs to be would be to, of course, lower your stress levels, get enough sleep, eat slowly. Some of us eat way too fast. I know I personally am very guilty of eating too fast, especially coming out of the military. You would think I've been out of the military for since February 2017 now. You would think I would just be sure to just enjoy every morsel of what I consume. But every now and again, I am just woofing down what's in front of me. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I just ate. I really don't know what it tastes like. Or I kind of know what it tastes like. I didn't really take time to enjoy it. And that's one of the things you need to make sure you do when you eat. Make sure you're enjoying it. Eating it slowly so that it can be digested properly. Okay? Stay hydrated. Remember, that's not just water, it's also fruit and vegetables, it's also the other things that you drink. Try not to drink sodas, carbonated beverages, too much things with too much caffeine in them. If you can do herbal teas, I would do herbal or decaf teas, decaf coffee, unless you just really need that boost, but, you know, follow the guidelines on what the recommendations are for caffeinated coffee as far as the maximum consumption. All of these things count as liquid going into your body. However, just be mindful of the fact that tea and coffee and any drinks that have a high sugar content will assist in dehydrating you because they can stimulate you to have to go to the bathroom. So be mindful of that and try to get in at least half your body weight in ounces of water daily, okay? And you can take a prebiotic, probiotic. Remember that your prebiotics support the functions of your probiotics, and your probiotics help to keep your colon working properly. So check for food intolerances. In other words, once you realize something's not jiving with you, make a note of it. Don't touch it again. Change your diet. Eat high-fiber foods, okay? Again, this may take some experimentation, figuring out which high-fiber foods you can jive with that don't cause you too much discomfort. Anytime you initially start eating high-fiber foods, you may have a little bit more gas. That's normal. It just shouldn't be, like, over the top, okay? So just kind of get a feel for if something doesn't stop being gassy and you've been consuming it every day for a week, then maybe that's not the thing for you, because after about a week, you shouldn't really be really gassy anymore. This has been like a long period between the last time you consumed it. Okay. Garlic and onions, great for your GI system. Fermented foods, remember we talked about kombucha, kimchi, things of that nature, and collagen boosting foods. Okay. So, with all that in mind, we covered a lot today. And I thank you for giving me your time. I thank you for listening. I thank you for allowing me to have my public diary today. It's been very helpful for me going through this grieving process. I hope that it's been helpful to someone else also. And I look forward to speaking with you guys again and on April 22nd. And I'll be posting about that very soon to let you know what segment it will be. I am looking at having a really in-depth talk about Resurrection Sunday, Resurrection versus Easter. What is it to you? Which is it to you? And why? So going into this Resurrection Sunday and going into Passover this evening, some of you are already in Passover as we're after 6 p.m. right now. So if you are celebrating Passover, happy Passover. And those of us who are Christian, as far as our belief system, looking forward to Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. And so, yeah, jot down your thoughts. What do you celebrate? Are you celebrating Easter? Or are you celebrating Resurrection Sunday? Which one is it to you and why? All right. Thanks again. It's been great having you. About to listen to some cool sounds with my hubby practicing his jazz. And I just want to remind everybody, even though you can't go out and listen to all the great jazz musicians that we have here in the Baltimore area, remember to tune in on your Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, wherever there's a social media, YouTube. There is a local artist doing their thing right now to keep you guys in the same headspace, to keep us all in the same headspace. There are also people offering what they call curbside concerts here in Baltimore. I think that's really innovative. That's cool. So you can literally request and pay for a mini concert on your block if you like. It's very affordable if you'd like to get together your block and do that. I think they're running around $75 right now. For a curbside concert. It's completely awesome. You can check out Scott Paintner's page on Facebook to learn more about that. Don't forget to check out Todd Marcus's page for the Bell Camp promotions for the DMV area. And DMV now seems to be including Pennsylvania also, so just be on the lookout for things coming from out of there as well. And I look forward to speaking with you all again on the 22nd of April. Thank you and have a great day.